Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. If you've bought a new house or a condominium within the last 20 years, it's very likely that there's a homeowners or condo association there. Some of you haven't had any connection to the association other than perhaps paying the fees. Others, well, you may have more interaction than you planned on. Well, what happens if you have problems with your HOA? What do you need to know about the rules and regulations? Well, tonight we have officials from a local and relatively new government agency that addresses those questions and more. Timothy Smith is the chair of the Prince George's County Commission on Common Ownership Communities. Nicole Williams is the vice chair. And Daria Bailey is the division manager. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Thank you all for coming in. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having us. You're
quite welcome.
So let me start with the chair. What is the Commission on Common Ownership Communities? A lot going on there with the title.
Yes, good evening, Harold. Mm-hmm. Again, my name is Timothy Smith and serve on the CCOC, which is the Common Ownership Communities. We are, the purpose of the commission is to ensure that properly homeowners are engaged.
Go ahead.
And able to understand what they have signed up for. We've learned in the county that there's a lot of homeowners that are not engaged or aware of what their homeowners association is about, and we're here to start giving them some more information and education so they can have a better quality of life and a better understanding of what they signed up for.
Talk to me about homeownership associations. I live in an older community, mm-hmm. much older. My community is almost 100 years old.
Oh, wow.
And so as a result, I don't have one. Mm-hmm. But as I said in the beginning, there are a lot of people who do have them. And some people just don't have any association with them at all, no pun intended, mm-hmm. other than paying the fees. But what do they do?
So a homeowners association or a condominium association, you know, you pay the fees to help cover the costs for some of the common amenities. If you have a clubhouse, if you have a pool, a little rec center, fitness center, they also deal with the snow removal for the roads within the homeowners association. If you're in a high-rise condo, you know, making sure the lobbies look nice and pretty, those types of things. And so really their function is just really to, it really helps your property value. And so their function is just to make sure that the community is looking fresh and awesome and what, you know, will be attractive for other people to want to come and live there. And that's really their role. And so, you know, sometimes when they say, hey, you need to replace your shutters that are falling, their interest is really just to make sure that the community just looks like a wonderful and awesome place to live.
Mm-hmm. But aren't some organizations a little more strict than others and more difficult to deal with? Some may allow that fallen shutter, for example, to remain fallen for a week or so until next payday. Others, they want it done tomorrow.
Right? Absolutely. It's up to the discretion of the board of directors as to how they're going to use their governing documents to oversee a community. So depending on where you live and who's representing your association, you may have rules that are a little bit more tough in your community, and there are some who are not as tough and don't follow to the letter of the law. But we actually encourage people, act immediately. When you see problems, concerns, and issues in the community, don't wait. Act so that homeowners can live to a certain standard so that we can ensure that property values are not compromised in the county.
Mm, that's an interesting point about property values, because as Nicole said earlier, a lot of this really does have to do with the quality of life for mm-hmm. your community.
Right. It definitely does. And, you know, your community association, you know, I always tell my boards of directors when, you know, I'm an attorney with Reese Broom, and I represent a number of condo associations and homeowner associations in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia. And so we always tell our board of directors that, A, it's a business, but B, you also want to try to create a sense of community. And so whether it's, you know, having, say, a holiday party or a summer community picnic or ice cream social, you want to make sure that, A, yes, you're enforcing the rules and regulations, but you also want to make sure you're also developing that sense of community as well.
Speaking of sense of community, Timothy, there's an event tomorrow in the county in reference to the Prince George's County's Commission on Common Ownership. Talk to me briefly about what's happening tomorrow.
Yes, starting on Saturday will be our launch for the commission. We will be meeting at the Prince George's County Community College in Largo, Maryland. The event will start at 10 a.m. To 12. It's more of a meet and greet and get to know the commissioners and what they plan to do in the future.
Mm-hmm. And where on campus is it?
It's at the Student Center.
Okay.
Yes, at the Student Center there on campus from 10 to 12. And we'll have some light refreshments come out. We'll also have a representative from the Attorney General's office, some individuals from other county agencies, such as the Department of Permitting Inspections and Enforcement, as well as the Department of Public Works, because a lot of those county agencies are also agencies that a lot of our communities rely on to assist them to help make, you know, keep their properties up to standards and things like that. So we will have some other county agencies to provide some additional information. And like Tim said, we'll have some information about what we do and the resources we can provide.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about homeowners associations and your relationship with the association that governs where you live. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Again, lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. John, calling from Temple Hills. John, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing just fine.
I went to my brother's house in Leesburg, Virginia, and his homeowners association gave me a ticket because I had Maryland tags, and I just wanted to, can they do that?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, homeowner associations, you know, their private parking areas and their private roads, they do have the authority to regulate the use of those private parking lots and private roads. And so sometimes they may have some restrictions, you know, where you can only park in, say, the visitor spaces as opposed to the reserve spaces. Or you might need a special hang tag or something you have to put in your car. So, you know, depending on the rules and regulations of your brother's HOA there, you know, I don't know specifically, but maybe, you know, you might have just didn't have that visitor's tag in your car or something like that.
Yeah. John, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Mike calling from Temple Hills. Mike, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'd like to ask your panel and your guests that what about the members not paying they do the what they're not paying, and the associate don't have the money to fix the things around the community, like the roof is leaking. If you're the only one paying your dues, and can you be able to, if the community cannot pay and this county closing them down, will you lose your property?
Yeah, who can address that?
Look, your association assessments are the lifeline of the association. Mm-hmm. So you have to make sure that you're paying. And for those who are not, it causes a great problem. Now, with regards to whether the county will close you down, it has happened in some instances recently, but it's not a common occurrence in the county. So what we encourage people to do is pay your association assessments, contribute to the success and all that's going on in your community. And you can only do that by your financial contributions to your association.
But what happens if what happens if you are, whether it's a condo community or a single family home, and let's say people like Mike are paying and he's always paid, but then you have others who are not paying, what impact does the partial financial payment have on an association's ability to function?
It is very impactful on the association's ability to function, actually, when there's some homeowners who are not paying their fair share. I mean, typically, an association should try to budget for those types of occurrences because everyone, sometimes stuff happens. You know, you may lose your job or the death of a loved one or, you know, a spouse or something like that. And I think generally we understand that these things do occur. But if people are not paying in broad swaths across the board, it can detrimentally impact an association. And, you know, the board of directors on the association, they have a fiduciary duty to the association as a whole to try to take whatever steps that they need to take to try to collect those funds, whether it's, you know, filing a lawsuit, unfortunately, against those homeowners or placing a lien against the property for the fees that are outstanding. There's a variety of processes that are probably allowed in the association's governing documents for the board to try to collect those funds.
Okay, Brian, Mike, thank you so much for your phone.
She answered my question. Thank you very
You're
much.
You're quite welcome. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about homeowners associations and what role you play as a homeowner in your community related to those associations. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Now, the Commission on Common Ownership Communities in Prince George's County is relatively new. How much enforcement power do you have, if any, as it relates to addressing problems in homeownership associations?
So in 2015, the Prince George's County Council, in conjunction with the County Executive for Prince George's County government, started the Commission on Common Ownership Communities. We have a total of 15 commissioners, 9 voting, 6 non-voting members. Our mission is to be intentional in communities, to go out and to make sure constituents know that we are accessible to them. We can get you your information. We can help you. Tim and I actually joked the other day with our new director, Unisha Davis, in the Office of Community Relations, that she expects us to connect people with the resources that they need in Prince George's County government. The commissioners are an extension of the Office of Community Relations, where we are supposed to go out and make ourselves accessible to the communities. We're supposed to be visible to the communities, and most important, we're supposed to be accountable. With regards to enforcement authority, we have very minimal enforcement authority, but we have partners who work with us on the other side who can help us enforce rules and regulations in the community. That being, if you violate any law that's a violation against Maryland state statute, we can refer you to the Attorney General's office. We have a great partnership with the Attorney General's office. They work with us to resolve issues, consumer protection issues for constituents. We also have great partnerships with attorneys, and we work to make sure that organizations like DPI, the Department of Permits, Inspections, and Enforcement, they work with us to ensure that our constituents get what they need.
Okay, because I was wondering if someone in the county, for example, has an issue with your homeowners association, do I call a lawyer or do I call you?
Well, you can certainly call our office. Adaria was mentioning the resources that we provide. And with the county, they do also offer mediation services where you can sit down with a trained mediator with your association to see if you guys can come to some type of resolution with regards to the problem, as opposed to getting all litigious and going to court and filing lawsuits all over the place and things like that. And so that is a service that we do provide as well.
Because we know that those things do happen.
Oh, yes, definitely, definitely.
But go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, but sometimes it's just easier to maybe just sit down and talk with a neutral third party to try to resolve it, as opposed to, you know, having to hire lawyers and pay all of these fees and things like that. So
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about homeowners associations, rules, regulations, what you need to know to make sure that your community is the best that it can be. Let me talk to Kim. Kim calling from Bryans Road, Maryland. Is that correct? Kim, are you there? Kim, give me a call back if you can. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go to Donna calling from Beltsville. Donna, whoops, I'm sorry. I punched up Christina. Christina calling from Virginia. What's on your mind?
Oh, my God. I'm so thankful that you guys are having this topic tonight. I was pulling into home, and I heard it.
Christina, are you there? I think we lost you. Christina, unfortunately, okay, tell you what. Stay there. I'm going to get right back to you. I've got to take a quick break. Also, Donna from Beltsville, we're going to talk to you next. A lot of phone calls. If you're having difficulty getting through, please try again. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about Homeowners Association, so we're going to continue to take calls even after 7:30 on Sirius XM. So please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR, but this conversation continues on Sirius XM in just a few seconds. So stay with us.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about homeowners associations, what you need to know and what you need to do in the event that you have a problem with your homeowners association. My guests tonight are Daria Bailey. She's a division manager for the Prince George's County Commission on Common Ownership Communities. Timothy Smith, he is the chair, and Nicole Williams is the vice chair. If you have a comment or a question, even if you're not in Prince George's County, even if you're not in the state of Maryland, they may be able to address at least some of the issues that may come up with your homeowners association. So please give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Christina from Virginia, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Wonderful, wonderful. What's on your mind?
Well, I just want to thank you guys for this topic because I have been dealing with harassment and discrimination with my homeowners association for about 7 years. I've lived in my property for 10 years, and I'm one of those who fell behind, you know, was laid off, then lost a job, had some health issues, and fell behind. I was always willing to make plans to pay my my fees to catch up, but there has always been faulty bookkeeping with our association. And now what has happened over the last 2 years, I've had a board member who has put a restraining order against me because I said something to him that he didn't like. And so right now what I'm dealing with, when I tell you hot mess, like right now they have with court fees and all, they are charging me $10,000 condo association fees. And
well, Christina, let me stop you there before we get too deep into the weeds. Obviously, I think we can speak generally to this issue as it relates to if you have a legal dispute with your association, how best might you handle that. Nicole, any ideas?
Yeah, so you're in Virginia, and in Virginia there is the Office of Common Ownership Interest Community Ombudsman. And so I would probably try to reach out to the Ombudsman's office. I'm not certain exactly how they can help you, but they do offer assistance and information to association members about their rights and processes that are to them. And that's why they were created down in Virginia. So I would try to reach out to them, give them a phone call and see if they can assist you.
Okay, good luck to you, Christina. Thank you so much for calling. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Donna calling from Beltsville. Hey, Donna, what's on your mind?
Hi, good evening. I wanted to know what happens when they do not abide by the bylaws. So I mailed out a payment,
and they did not receive it on time, and it was considered late. They never notified me, which is in the bylaw that they have 2 weeks to notify me to let me know. So instead, what they did, they continue to subtract from each month, and then I ended up with a bill of $3,000 after about 2 years. I try to call to find out why.
Well, Donna, again, let me stop you from going too deep into the specifics of your situation. But I think that how do you deal with associations that as a homeowner you believe are not adhering to the bylaws? Are some associations stricter than others?
Yeah, I mean, I think some are stricter than others. I mean, if you think that the board of directors aren't doing their job, they're supposed to have an annual meeting and have an election for the board of directors. And so now it becomes somewhat of a political process. If you think that they're not doing a good job, then you have that opportunity to vote other people onto the board that you think will do a better job. I mean, also as a homeowner, you do have a right to inspect the books and records of the association. You have a right to request for that inspection in writing and to request copies of the association's financials and things like that. So you do also have that ability as well.
But based on these last two calls, what I'm hearing is that this is more than just... It may start as not adhering to the bylaws, whether it be the homeowner or the members of the board. But what happens, apparently, is that we begin to spiral into financial obligations that at least appear to be quite exorbitant.
What I was thinking, and I'm pretty sure Nicole will probably back me up on this, is that if you fall into some type of financial difficulties, your first thing that you should do is to contact your association representatives and let them know. Don't ignore the fact that you have a monthly assessment, because again, you are expected to pay those assessments, and to ignore it means that we think that you are disobeying the rules and regulations that govern your association. So it's to your advantage to contact your board president, CC any legal representatives, and start the payment process or the payment plan process early, so that people will know you're having financial difficulties, but you want to still pay your obligation to the association.
But what happens, for example, when you had tens of thousands of people in a financial bind, for example, during the government shutdown, where homeowners associations were probably the last thing that people were thinking about? We were talking about people concerned about how to pay their mortgage, in addition to feeding their families. And so when you have some kind of situation where you're talking about more than half of the people, if not 90%, for example, of the people that may be in your association that work for the federal government, and nobody's getting paid, right, should you expect your homeowners association to accommodate you?
And I think this is where that whole sense of community comes in. I know during the government shutdown, our office and a lot of the management companies that we worked with, they said, if you send us a copy of your furlough letter, you know, we'll work with you. We will give you time to get caught up. And so I think, yes, you should definitely be enforcing your governing documents. But I think also this is where, you know, you understand the situation and developing that sense of community, saying that we will work with you. We will say waive late fees during this month or 2 months during the furlough, those types of things.
202-319-7810. Thank you, Donna, for sharing with us, and certainly good luck to you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Shanna, calling from Clinton. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I purchased three properties in the same subdivision on the same day 13 years ago. My homeowners association is mismanaged, and now there's more than 25% renters in there. And as of May 1st, if I don't evict my tenant, they're going to fine me $4,500 a month. What kind of rights do I have? I've been fighting this for a year. I've spent thousands of dollars on legal fees, and this is potentially to bankrupt me. Is there somebody I could talk to offline on Monday in reference to this?
I would say probably reach out to the Attorney General's office with regards to this. That would probably be a good place to start in this particular situation.
And there is a local office in Prince George's County in Largo, Maryland. So if you go to their webpage, you can actually find the telephone number and address for the local office.
Okay. Shanna, good luck to you, and thank you so much for giving us a call. Let's go to Justin. Justin calling from Clinton. Justin, thanks for – whoops, did I get that? Justin, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go right ahead. What's on your mind?
All right. I've heard all the examples, and at this time, what if we've done all our due diligence with our community, and at this time it's better just to look at for a different management company? Is there a way to, or like a reference sheet in which we can see or who is approved in this common area, just so we know what our options are?
So I would recommend that you actually go to the Community Associations Institute website. That's CAI. They are the trade organization that works with common ownership communities throughout the country. They actually have a list of service providers. If you go to the webpage, there's a chapter in D.C., and there's also a chapter in Chesapeake, Maryland. And if you look on their webpage, they have a service providers list of management companies, attorneys, and any other type of service provider that you can think of for a common ownership community.
So the website for that, Justin, is caionline.org. That's caionline.org, Community Associations Institute. Got
great
that?
Question.
Yeah.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Jeff calling from Fort Washington. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Like I said, I live after having an issue with my homeowners association, and we had some flood problems, and they're not communicating with us. It's been a long time, and I just need to know who can I contact in Prince George's County about my association, homeowners association.
I would say give our office a call on Monday morning, and we will take your information and we will refer you to the appropriate agency. If you want to contact the Prince George's County Office of Community Relations, you can reach us at 301-952-4729.
One more time, please.
301-952-4729.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate your phone call. Who determines in a new development whether or not there will be or should be a homeowners association?
That's mostly the county. So in with Maryland National Capital Park and Planning, they deal with pretty much approving all of the development that goes on within Prince George's County. And you'll see that a lot of the, especially residential development that they are approving, they are pretty much requiring that that new residential development goes through their subdivision department. And so it's that subdivision department that will work with the developer and the builder. It's also ultimately on the builder to determine, is this going to be a homeowners association? Is this going to be a condominium association? Or it's going to be a cooperative association? I know in this region, we have some cooperatives, especially in this city, in the District of Columbia, but you hear a lot about co-ops in New York and places like that. But we do have some in this area as
What's
well.
What's the difference?
Oh, sure. The difference between a co-op and, say, a condo or HOA is really just kind of how it's structured. So a cooperative is really a corporation that owns the property. And you, as someone who owns, you own a share within that particular corporation. So the corporation will own the entire building, and you would have that share that's equal to the size of your particular unit within that corporation. So that's the cooperative model. A condominium model, you own your little unit, fee simple, just like you would your own home and things like that. And so you have what are called the common elements and the common areas that you all share as a community. And so you all have a joint interest and joint ownership in that those common areas and those common elements. And the same thing in a homeowners association. So that's kind of the, sorry to get all legalese on you.
No, actually, that's quite helpful. So when a homeowners association or, for example, a condo association is established, I'm sure the only difference is one is for condos and one is for homes, single family homes.
Yeah, like. Most homeowner associations are single family homes or townhomes. Most condominium associations, look like apartments, but sometimes rarely you will see some townhouse style condominium associations as well.
Who determines what's in the bylaws, how extensive they are, how involved they are?
Initially, that's developed by the developer and their legal team. But eventually, once it turns over to the actual homeowners, after there's a transition, the homeowners and the board can revise them. But initially, it's the developer.
Because I've always wondered, for example, if some bylaws for homeowners associations are extremely strict. For example, there may be gas lights that are, gas fuel lights that are in everyone's yard, for example, and they can only be gold tone. They cannot be silver. Or you may only be allowed to have white doors, black doors, beige doors, but no red doors, blue doors, or polka dot doors, for example. And, who determines those kind of specific details, particularly if this is my house. I paid for this. Think about that. We'll answer that on the other side. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about homeowners associations. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about homeowners associations. Before the break, I was asking, how do you balance what the bylaws say about the aesthetics of your property with the fact that it's your property and I want to do whatever the heck I want to do with my property?
Right. Well, under the law, you're supposed to receive copies of all of these rules and regulations before you even go to settlement. And so the thought is, though I think in practice it probably doesn't happen quite often, is that you're supposed to read through all of these rules and regulations and decide that, yes, this is where I want to live and I want to abide by all of these rules and regulations. And the statute does allow you a grace period where after you get those documents, you're like, oh, I don't want to be a part of this. You do have a window where you can say, you know what? I changed my mind. This doesn't look like it's the place for me. And you could walk away without any penalty.
Really?
Yes. But a lot of people don't realize that. Now, the window's like short. I think it's like 3 days or something like that, or 5 days. But still, you do have that opportunity. So, like I said, before you go to settlement, you're supposed to get a copy of all the rules and regulations, read through them. And that could give you a sense of kind of, what are the, how strict they are, how, unstrict they are. One of the other things I always tell the people who are thinking about purchasing a home, if you're thinking about purchasing within a homeowners association, is to ask for a copy of the association's budget and ask for a copy of the association's finances. And that'll also give you a good sense of how well managed that association is. Ask, what is the association's delinquency rate? The one woman who called in earlier, she had mentioned that they have, 25% of the owners that are renting. There's certain standards, FHA, the Fair Housing Administration, they like to see communities have no more than, say, a 10% delinquency rate. They usually say, if an association has 10% or less in delinquencies and it's a sound community, it seems to be, they seem to be operating pretty well. But if the delinquencies are creeping up to, say, above 15 or almost 20, the FHA kind of looks at that a little like, oh, I wonder what's going on over there. Mm-hmm. So, those are some of the things that I tell individuals that are thinking about purchasing a home within a homeowners association or condo association.
And that's one of the things that's part of the purchasing of the home. You get a resale package from the management company. We'll have all those documents spelled out for you. So you have a chance to review before you actually go to settlement to see what the requirements are and the restrictions for the community.
Because pulling out within 3 to 5 day sounds expensive to me. I mean, you go through all of the, you know, the looking and the finding and examining what's happening in the communities and making sure that, you know, you don't have neighbors that are untoward and all of that. And then all of a sudden, you know, you get the bylaws and you say, oh, so I can't put a swimming pool in, or I can't have more than three children, or
I can't, I've never seen bylaws that say that,
or that I can't have my grandmother or my mother-in-law stay here unless they are, you know, under the age of 65 or something, whatever that is. And at that point, I can see how that would be an extremely difficult decision to make.
Yeah, definitely. But once again, it's also about your quality of life. And
exactly.
And once you commit, you're stuck to that decision. Once you move in, you have to live by the governing documents for your association.
So just do your research.
Yeah, just like those three children. Let's go to Michelle calling from D.C. Michelle, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, good evening. I am so glad that you guys are on this topic. My name is Michelle, and I live in the DuPont Commons area on C Street Southeast. I'll just give that. So I've been in my townhome for at least 14 years. And what happened was I had to sue the HOA because I have a neighbor who does not have a driveway or garage, but I have one. This neighbor, to me, they're very disrespectful. They park, they block the driveway. And then also, my downspout, they enclosed their backyard using my retainer wall fence.
So let me stop. So Michelle, let me stop you before we get too much into your situation. But it sounds to me that you have a dispute with a neighbor. And with that said, how do you resolve disputes with neighbors within the governing body of your HOA? I asked earlier about the Commission of Common Ownership Communities and how much enforcement you have, but how much enforcement does an HOA actually have? I mean, are there any HOA police or how does that work? Because it sounds to me like that's what she needs.
Generally, the HOA police consist of your board of directors, but what we always encourage people to do is don't police your neighbors. Hire a management company somewhere, because as Nicole has stated, you want to have a sense of community. That's where you live. So it's very difficult to monitor your neighbors. But in Prince George's County, we have the alternative dispute resolution services in our office, where if you were having that type of issue, we would bring you in. But even in your governing documents, sometimes your governing documents will give you an opportunity to have a hearing before your board of directors so that you can kind of air out some of your concerns with your board of directors in a formal setting.
So, but what happens if you have this mediation, okay, and Michelle's neighbor, I already don't like him. And so, because he's making Michelle unhappy. And so if he is not able to come to some kind of agreement and he's still going to be a pain in the butt, what choices are available to her if the mediation fails? I mean, I guess what I'm asking is, and this is a thing that Michelle is asking, and correct me if I'm wrong, Michelle, how do you get your neighbor to act right?
Right. I mean, like Daria mentioned, you know, going to your board of directors, you know, depending on the nature of the activity, maybe it's a violation of the governing documents. You know, some documents may have provisions that you can't block, for example, the common areas, if he's blocking access to her driveway and those types of things, or, you know, using other people's property, encroaching on other people's property and things like that. And so the board may have some leeway or leverage in order to say, hey, you're in violation of the governing documents. If you don't comply, if they have the authority to fine, they could issue fines. If they have the authority to kind of go on the property and remove the obstruction, sometimes they may have the authority to do that.
Because I can't imagine. I mean, she's talking about her next door neighbor.
I know.
And that can only be a really difficult quality of life issue mm-hmm. when you're next to someone who is just not being civil or considering right. your situation. Does that help you any at all, Michelle?
See, here's the thing. We do at the time we had a management company. We still have a management company. I tried for years. I wrote letters. That's why I had to resort to filing a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
And when it all went down, what happened was basically just from me doing the summary judgment and going through the process, because the HOA never responded to my letters or my request to resolve this issue with the neighbor, nor did they respond to the fact that there was encroachment on my property. So that's why I had to file the lawsuit. It wasn't until they received a complaint mm-hmm. from my lawyers that they initiated a response.
Well, let me ask you, because I'm running out of time.
Yes.
Has this issue been resolved, or are you still in process?
Absolutely not. My next goal is to actually sue the homeowner, sue them in civil court, because they're still, the fence is still up. We couldn't come to agreement with the HOA.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that me going through the HOA, I pay the HOA dues. I thought going to the HOA,
okay.
trying to get my issue resolved, that would help. Did not help.
Well, Michelle, I've got to stop you there. Is she on the right track with?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like she's on the right track.
Yeah. Michelle, good luck to you, and thank you for sharing with us. And we certainly hope that this can be resolved so that you can have peace in your own house and your neighbor, too. I want to thank my guests for coming by and sharing with us tonight, Timothy Smith, Daria Bailey, and Nicole Williams. And don't forget the event for the Prince George's County Commission on Common Ownership Communities. It's 10 to noon tomorrow at Prince George's Community College at the Student Center. It's free. Come on by. Get plenty of information about your homeownership association. That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, you can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.